This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. ChatGPT just turned 2. The artificial intelligence tool has sparked fears, but many think it still holds great promise. We welcome back to KMOX William Yeo, Associate Professor in Computer Science and Engineering at McKelvey School of Engineering at Washington University. Good morning and welcome back to KMOX.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what changes have we seen in ChatGPT in just the 2 years that it's been available?
Oh, there's been quite a bit of improvements, I guess, on ChatGPT. Initially, when it was released, we could only interact with it through text. You know, we try in text, it responds in text. Now, 2 years later, you know, we can upload images, we can upload documents in PDFs. ChatGPT can respond in images. There's also a text-to-speech functionality now. You could speak to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT could speak back. And I think about two or three days ago, OpenAI just released that they can even now create videos from user prompts. So there's definitely tons and tons of improvements with ChatGPT.
Do you feel like there's more acceptance of this technology at this point?
My take is that it's pretty much the same as before. We are all still trying to explore and learn what it can and cannot do. And because the functionality has changed so quickly, it seems like we're always learning every day and trying to figure out how to best use it in our daily life.
How is it changing our world, or is it? Because that was kind of the promise of this, is that it would be transformative.
Right. I think it depends on who you're talking to. I believe it impacts the people and maybe the industries that are able to use it best efficiently. So, for example, the immediate folks that come into mind as a computer science professor is that we have a lot of software engineers and programmers who are now using ChatGPT and similar generative AI technologies to help them code and program more efficiently. And as an academician, it's also helping scientific discovery, like things like drug discovery, where we have AI go through tons and tons of documents to help identify promising options for figuring out what drugs might be useful and what drugs might not be. And more recently, I came across an article where it was a really interesting use case of a realtor using Gen AI technologies to cold call potential clients. So they basically combine ChatGPT and other technologies to make phone calls to people asking if they're interested to sell their homes. So this is definitely a really unique use case of ChatGPT, and at least from that one person who did that, they said that, you know, the conversion rates were even better than if the person called people themselves. So ChatGPT is doing a better job than people. With ChatGPT, you can also call more people in parallel because you don't need to just call one person at a time. So that's definitely an interesting use case.
That is interesting. I was talking with someone over the Thanksgiving holiday that is basically using it as a writing tool to warm up their writing. I'm wondering, when it comes to creators, if there are any better guardrails in place to protect authors and artists and researchers.
Yeah, I do not know of any guardrails from the technology side, but I know there are guardrails, I guess, from the law side. So, for example, I believe the Screen Actors Guild in Hollywood have arrangements in place with the actors to make sure that the images and videos that are created are not being used by Gen AI. So the guardrails, I believe, will have to come from law as opposed to technology, because the technology itself is just a tool, and how we use it is depending on the person using it.
Are we seeing better development of other applications that will catch flaws and hallucinations in this artificial intelligence technology?
Catching flaws and hallucinations is actually really, really hard. And I think since AI started decades ago, that has been a problem, whether it's ChatGPT or some other AI technology. We always want to know if the answers or suggestions provided by AI is correct or not. And it's still an open problem. But there is more work that tries to detect if an artifact, whether it's an article or an image or a video, is created by AI or not. And there's a lot of work in that space, and lots of applications as well. For example, in academia, in my classes, we have tools to try to detect if an article, an essay written by a student, is that written by a person, or is it more likely to be written by ChatGPT? Similarly, in legal settings where I can imagine videos and images being uploaded as evidence in court, they will need to be authenticated to see if they're actually real or not. So that's a lot more work in that space than that is more promising, I think. Being able to detect if what AI says is hallucinating or is flawed, that's going to be really, really hard, because essentially what we need to do is fact-check.
We're speaking with William Yeo, Associate Professor of Computer Science and Engineering at Washington University. You mentioned the academic community. That seemed to be one of the biggest areas of concern about how it might be used both in universities and in our K-12 schools. Do you feel that the academic community is maybe embracing ChatGPT and these technologies more?
I definitely have a biased view because I can only speak to the computer science community. That's the folks that I'm interacting with more. At least within the CS community, I think we are definitely embracing it more. We see it, or at least I see it, as a tool that we, including students, should learn to use the best we can. And it's going to be impossible to prohibit students to not use ChatGPT or other generative AI tool. It's like asking them to not use Google to search for information online when doing their homework. That tool is there. That Pandora's box is open. We're never going to be able to close it back. So we should learn to best use the tool and help them use the tool to further their education and learn the things that they need to learn.
You mentioned at the very start the changes that we've already seen in just the first 2 years of ChatGPT. What do you see down the road for the next 2 years?
My guess is that in the near future, we are going to basically see ChatGPT not just creating videos like they do now, which is without audio. They could probably create videos with audio integrated in them, so creating mini short movies of some sort. So that is probably going to be in the really near future. But in the longer term, I can imagine ChatGPT and other Gen AI tools be software agents and make take actions on our behalf. It's like, for example, having Gen AI bots buying movie tickets for us or making restaurant reservations for us, essentially doing a lot of the mundane things on the web that maybe we would prefer not to have to do, and so that frees us from time that we can do things that we would like to do.
That is William Yeo talking about the 2-year anniversary of ChatGPT. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you again.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.